is from John 12, verses 20 to 36. It's at page 1080 in the church Bibles. Now there were some Greeks among those who went to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with the request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that was there heard it, said that it thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment of this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. The crowd spoke up. "We have heard the law that the Christ will remain forever. So how can you say, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus told them, "You are going to have the light just a little longer. Walk while you have the light, before the darkness overtakes you. The man who walks in the dark does not know where he is going. Put your trust in the light while you have it, so that you may become sons of light." When he had finished speaking, Jesus left and hid himself from them. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please speak to us through your scriptures, through the thoughts that we're going to have. And Lord, may your Spirit change us to be more like you, to live life in all its fullness. Amen. Right, so today we're carrying on our journey through John's Gospel. Oh, my name's Mark, if you don't know me. I'm training to be a vicar, like Trevor. So something to aspire to there. And we're thinking about losing life and gaining it. So my first question for you today is, if you could have one wish granted, what would it be? So have a think about that. And if you're brave enough, maybe tell the person you're sitting next to. Paula wants to shout it out. Oh, you're not allowed that one. What one wish would you have? Have a think about it. You don't need to shout it out. Just tell the person next to you. But yeah, if you just have one wish, what would it be? I have about a minute to think about that. Hearing some people might want to be a superhero. What's your wish, Helen?
I wish I could fly.
Fly, yeah. James?
Win a holiday to Tonga and snorkel with humpback whales.
Maybe Helen could give you a piggyback when she flies there. Go on, Owen.
A full night's sleep.
Father of small boys. Anyone else? What would you wish for? Yeah, not very deep and meaningful, those ones, were they, really? But oh, it's a joke one. Oh, James, what's your real one?
Probably that no one would suffer in the world or something kind of a bit more serious than that. But.
Saint James, to avoid, to eliminate suffering in the world. It's interesting, as I started thinking about this talk, about losing life and gaining it, it did make me think, you know, what do I really want in life? If I could gain life, what would that really mean? You know, what would I really want deep within my heart? You know, what would give me satisfaction and fulfillment in life? And maybe a holiday might be good for 2 weeks, but when I get home, you get that sinking feeling that it's back to normal life. You know, what would make me really happy and content? And I wonder, you know, what do I love? What do I get passionate about? What do I spend my life, my time pursuing? And I can remember when I was quite young, I guess I say quite young, in my early 20s. Some of you are still there. I remember looking out of my parents' house. I was still living with my parents when I was about 22, 23. And, I mean, my dad was quite successful. He worked in a bank in the city. And I just remember thinking to myself, should I pursue the lifestyle to compete with my dad? You know, to try and get a good career, earn lots of money, to have nice things in life, you know, nice cars, big houses in nice areas, or shouldn't I? And I just remember sort of giving that up before God and thinking, I'm not going to try and compete with what my dad had achieved in his life. And he'd done very well for himself, worked his way up from the bottom. But I just thought to myself, you know, what would really fulfill me? Rather than chasing someone else's dream, trying to chase what other people had achieved, what would really, and I didn't come up with anything, but I'd spent the next 10, even 15, 20 years of my life trying to chase that which would really fulfill me in my career. And initially, I was still very career-minded. I wanted to be like a top manager in a company in the corporate world. I wasn't successful in that. They didn't want me. So I got a job down the local employment agency. In fact, I stacked shelves in Tesco's for a bit. And I just kept on pursuing jobs without really sense of what I really wanted to do. And I think that's because I saw it as I was pursuing things that I was interested in, that I thought, oh, I could, yeah, be quite nice being a teacher, might be quite nice working for a charity, might be quite nice working in finance. But I think what I was missing was what would really fulfill me. Who am I? Who is Mark? Who am I? You know, how has God made me to be? And what career should I therefore have? And even when I thought about working for the church, and my intention now is to work for the church and not have any more career changes, you know, to be a vicar. But, you know, 10, 20 years ago, I looked at people who were wanting to work for the church, and I thought I wasn't worthy enough for that because it was quite a high calling. I didn't think God had made me to be that person to be in that sort of job. But you know, it took me about 20 years to realize that God had made me to be that person to work for him in the church. And I guess everyone here must have some sort of sense of calling, whether that's from God or whatever, about who you were made to be. What is the calling on your life? Now, some people might call that vocation. But sometimes we just think of that in terms of teaching or nursing or being a doctor. Oh, those people have a vocation in life. But of course, you can have a vocation to be a gardener or a painter and decorator. You know, because God has made us all different. And I think when we actually pursue that calling to be the person that God has made us to be, that's when we really find fulfillment and contentment in life. And it doesn't have to be something that helps other people. It could be in business, could be working for a bank, could be a gardener, could be anything. But I think as I was sort of growing up, you know, in my 20s and 30s, now I'm a man, as I was growing up, I was easily tempted by the desires of the world, you know, those temptations that are all around us, that we can easily slip into the world and letting it consume our desires. And you know, our true self, who God has made us to be, can be overwhelmed by the temptations that bombard us from around everywhere that we go. And it's easy to conform to the pattern of that world. We seek to fit into it. You know, we look for meaning and we look to do things with our time, you know, even things like what to wear, the things to buy, how to entertain ourselves, who to be with, where to go. But does it sometimes feel like we're groping around in the darkness? Can we really find what we're looking for? It says in the passage we read just now in verse 35, whoever walks in the dark does not know where they are going. You know, God is good and he wants us to have what is good. But I wonder how easy is it to find contentment in what we have? And that's not to say that we shouldn't seek to improve ourselves, to do better, to pursue those things which interest us. But I guess what I'm thinking about today is what really motivates us? What drives us? What gives us joy? And how can we live a life that's authentic, true to who we really are? Not pretending to be someone else or even a vision of who we want to be, conditioned by the values of the world, but how can me be me? How can I be me, the person that God has made me to be? So in the passage that we read today, we read about some people that came up to, well, they didn't come up to Jesus, they came up to some of his disciples, and they said to him, some Greek people, we would like to see Jesus, in verse 21, we would like to see Jesus. Now, it doesn't say what happened, where they actually met Jesus, but I wonder what would happen if you met Jesus. So I sometimes think that, you know, maybe when we die, we go to heaven and we meet Jesus. But if you were those Greeks, try to imagine yourself in that situation. You're those Greek people, and you're trying to find Jesus, and you meet his disciples. You say, oh, we would like to see Jesus. Now, I wonder what would happen if you met Jesus. What would you say? What would he say to you? Maybe just think about that for a minute or so, and maybe you could tell the person next to you. What would you say if you met Jesus? Maybe James would ask him for a holiday. Helen would ask for the power to fly. But, you know, if we believe that Jesus can do things for us, what would we ask him? Maybe just spend a minute thinking, what would you ask Jesus if you met him? What do you think would happen if you met Jesus? What would he say to you? What would you say to him? Would anyone like to tell anyone? In the microphone. Oh, sir. Shiva, yeah.
Thank you.
Great. That's a great answer, yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I think we always have to remember that God is good and he wants us to have what is good. So, just going to think about now what happened when other people met Jesus in the Bible. There's a story that a woman was caught in adultery. She was about to be stoned to death, and all the people had got stones. But Jesus came and said to the people, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. They all dropped their stones and walked away. And Jesus said to the woman, nor do I condemn you, but go away and sin no more. So even though Jesus saved her from death, he challenged her about what happened in her life and asked her to go and live the life that God intended her to live, not the adulterous life that she had come from. A rich young ruler came up to Jesus and asked him, what must he do to have eternal life? Jesus said, go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor. I'm not sure that was the answer the rich young person was expecting, but it was challenging. And I think when we meet Jesus, Jesus would see right into us and think, what is preventing that person from living life in all its fullness? The woman, it was perhaps bad relationships or adultery. The man, it was his wealth that was preventing him living life in its true fullness. Jesus met a woman at a well and asked her for a drink of water. And after the conversation, the woman said about Jesus to her friends, he told me everything I ever did. And she was confronted with the truth about her life, getting into bad relationships with men. You know, she'd had a number of relationships. The man she was living with at the time wasn't her husband, but she'd had a string of bad relationships. And Jesus struck to the heart and said, the thing that's preventing you living life in all its fullness is the way you choose to live your life in terms of relationships. Zacchaeus was a short man. He was a corrupt, exploitative government official. He was short. He hid up a tree. Jesus was passing along. But Jesus stopped. He looked up at the man in the tree, Zacchaeus, and said, I want to have dinner with you in your house. Come down. And when that person, when Zacchaeus met Jesus, he decided to change his life, completely turned it around, and he paid back all the money that he'd stolen off people. Jesus challenged him, and he challenges us. And even the people that followed Jesus in the Bible, the disciples, which became apostles, yeah, they were simple fishermen at the time, but when Jesus called them and said, come follow me, immediately they left everything and followed Jesus. Jesus challenged them, maybe about what their ambitions were in life. And they dropped everything and followed him. And I think Jesus challenges us at our deepest level with the things which really matter, our core identity, our beliefs, who we really are, our true self. And it made me think, and I challenge you tonight, you know, where does your identity come from? What gives your life meaning? Who are you deep within? What makes you, you? And when do you truly sense you are being true to yourself? You know, God is good, and God wants us to have what is good. A few years ago, I was on a retreat, and the guy who was leading the retreat, I just had a few moments with him alone, and he challenged me. He said, what is your pearl of great price? You know, what is so precious to me, so important to me, that I'd give up everything else to get it? You know, Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a pearl that a man sees, and then he sells all his possessions to get that one pearl. Or Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like a man who goes to and finds treasure in a field, but he buries the treasure and doesn't tell anyone, goes and buys the field, and then, you know, sells all he has to buy that field in order to dig up the treasure and have the treasure. And I guess that's the challenge tonight. You know, what are we willing to let die in our lives so that we can have life? What are we willing to allow Jesus to get rid of in our lives that we can have life in all its fullness? You know, the woman caught in adultery had to give up her adulterous ways. The rich young ruler had to give up all his possessions. The woman at the well had to give up her bad relationships. And the fishermen who became disciples gave up everything to follow Jesus. You know, they had things that Jesus said, this is what you ought to be going for. I wonder what your pearl of great price is. I wonder what Jesus is challenging you to give up, to sacrifice, in order to get that pearl of great price. And Jesus, when we meet Jesus, you know, strips away all those layers that we've put around us, all those things that we've conformed to the pattern of this world, all the things that we're trying to pursue to get joy or contentment or happiness. Jesus, you know, strips those away and says, who are you really? I've made you. You're mine. I know what really you desire. I know what your true vocation is. Because when we meet Jesus, or when we read the Bible or we pray, it's easy to think of Jesus as a bit like a helper, you know, just helps us. Oh, I've got, you know, I'm not sure what to do. Can you help me, please? And we ask for Jesus' advice, and God is good, and he gives us some advice. But a church leader in America called Tim Keller, he says, most people want Jesus as a consultant rather than a king. And I just wonder, is Jesus your consultant or is he your king? You know, and the king says, you must do this. You can't argue with the king. certainly in the old days, because if you argued with the king, he'd kill you. You know, the king, what the king said was law. I'm not suggesting that Jesus is going to kill you if you don't do what you're told. But, you know, are we willing to lay down our lives for the king, or are we just willing to accept a bit of advice when it suits us? You know, what sort of Jesus are we meeting? Because when those people in the Bible met Jesus, they responded as though Jesus was king. You know, they were struck by the truth that Jesus could say in their lives. You know, that woman said, he knew everything about me. The rich young ruler was struck to the heart because Jesus identified that it was his wealth that was preventing him from getting life in all its fullness. But I don't think it's as simple as sort of just changing our ways. You know, you can't suddenly think, oh yes, what's my desire? I'll go for it. You know, it's quite hard, I think, to find our pearl of great price. It's not easy. And I think Jesus calls us to be on a journey to find him, but also to find our pearl of great price. And it took me about 20 years, well, maybe 25 years, to find my what would really fulfill me in life, and what I felt my true calling was. But through those times, you know, I felt God was challenging me to sort out my life, to change, to get rid of some of the things that I thought were true about me but that weren't, you know, to change my mindset, to get rid of those things which had infected me from the world, those temptations or desires that were causing me pain and taking away the joy from my life. You know, it took me a while to get through those, and I'm still getting through some of them. But, you know, it's a challenge. And when we go after that pearl of great price, I don't think it'll be easy. And when we meet Jesus, it's not an easy thing. You know, he challenged, those things that he challenged those people with were difficult. You know, the woman who was caught in adultery, you know, it's hard not to commit adultery sometimes. The rich young ruler, I'm sure it was hard for him to sell all his possessions. It was hard for the woman at the well to change her life. But because they looked up and they saw that there was something that it was worth going for, life in all its fullness, a life of freedom, they felt it was good to start that challenge. Talking about challenges, I came across this story. This is a woman who you might have seen in the paper. That is Sarah Allbone. Sarah Allbone up there. I'll read out what the article said. It said, just weeks after experienced climbers Tim and Rachel were killed by an avalanche on Ben Nevis, Sarah Allbone, 28, attempted to scale the mountain totally unprepared. She set out for the challenge in trainers and a t-shirt, and without telling anyone where she had gone. She was caught up in freezing conditions and showed signs of hypothermia, including difficulty moving. I think she'd basically gone in a sort of jeans and t-shirt and with a selfie stick and a phone, ready to take pictures of herself. But, you know, she was lucky and she was found in that sort of freezing state in hypothermia, and some other climbers found her. And, you know, 4,000 feet up a mountain. But my point with her is she wasn't prepared for the challenge that she set out to be. And, you know, we can look up at the top of the mountain, and that's where we might want to be, and that we think that's where our calling is and that's what we want to be. But sometimes we're not ready for the challenge to get there. We think it might be easy, but God doesn't call us to a life that's easy to get our pearl of great price. And it's not sort of plain sailing all the time. It can be hard and it can be a challenge. But we can be confident that God is good and God wants the best for us. And even more than that, you know, the Bible says that we're God's handiwork, we're his masterpiece. He created us in Christ Jesus to do the things he created us to do. Indeed, in which he prepared in advance for us to do. So we're up for the challenge to get that pearl of great price, to get our vocation, to gain life in all its fullness, even though it might be challenging along the way. But I think it's worth that challenge, because when we do have a life that's truly fulfilled, it's worth it in the end. I just want to finish by saying that, you know, God doesn't expect us all to be supermen and superwomen, you know, ready for the challenge, pearl of great price, you know, going after it like... He does call us in our weakness. And even though we might be weak, with God, we can be strong. You know, Paul, who wrote a lot of the Bible and the New Testament, said he had a thorn in his side, which he found really difficult. Now, no one knows what that thorn in his side was. He even prayed for God to take it away. But God says, no, I'm not going to take away that thorn in your side, whether it was a painful illness or some mental thing. Because God said to Paul, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And I think in our weakness, we can be sure that God will be strong. And even though we have a sense that we're living without that sense of fullness of life, the closer we are to God, the closer we are to Jesus, I think the more we can realize that we are indeed able to live life in all its fullness. Because Jesus sees us as we truly are. However weak and broken we are, Jesus says to us, I've died for you. I can give you life. I can repair what is broken. And I can restore all the things that have caused you pain. Jesus can show us the way to restoration and reconciliation. And the gospel really is allowing God to provide the treasure in our lives, the treasure of life lived in all its fullness, a life lived in the way it was supposed to be lived, the way God created us to live it. In Jesus, we find our true selves and what the world wants us, not what the world wants us to be, but the person God wants us to be. Our true vocation in life. I think once we get close to Jesus, we can let go of all those things which easily entangle us so that we can be free to live life in all its fullness, living life in the light, not in the darkness, the life of eternal life. And as we read in the passage today, anyone who loves the life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. You are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in the dark does not know where they are going. Believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of light. And God is good. God wants us to have what is good. And God will help us to be the people that He's made us to be. So let's close with a prayer. May the light of Christ shine in our lives to reveal those things which we must lose so that we may gain the treasure of the pearl of great price. That's eternal life in all its present and future fullness, a life lived with Jesus. Amen.